Let's press record. Okay, and we're going. What are they paying you at the Creek in the Cave?
Oh, yes. Only a joke.
Wait, so Beth Stelling is with us.
Oh, wait, we started like that?
Beloved child.
Well, okay.
And friend.
Oh, we started.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the Endless Honeymoon Podcast. I'm Moshe Kasher. That's Natasha Leggero, and she just introduced our guest.
Hi.
Hi, Beth.
Thank you for having me.
Nice to
Beth,
see you.
Beth, you've been on tour. What's it like out there in the wild?
People are excited to be out and ready to laugh. I feel like most of the places I'm at do still maybe require a vax card, but you all have a few sneakers and they're like,
I love a sneaker.
Good to be back.
I feel like the two times I've been out in public recently, I've gotten into a fight about someone butting in line.
You got really traumatized by getting cut
in line. That happened to me twice. No, I'm just saying.
I don't like it one bit. You know, I also wished people wouldn't stand so close to me. You think it would have really been imprinted on us, but are people overcorrecting here?
What did they say?
Close?
We've been saying, read the Globe.
Guess what I did one time when somebody was too close? I kicked back my leg to do a quad stretch.
Did it work?
They got pissed.
That is so funny.
I was like, I didn't see you. They acted like I had like completely slapped them across the face.
Wait, what were you in line for?
I was, and I'm not proud of this, and I don't support their business, and it's disgusting, but Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf.
Wait, you don't support their business?
No, they're freaking gross as hell. What script are you working on?
You're more of a Starbucks gal?
Ew, I can't. Do you even know me?
No,
oh
I mean.
Oh my God, Moshe.
I didn't know you were like a coffee snob.
Okay, I am.
Okay.
And my first job out here was Intelligentsia.
Is that true?
Yes.
Oh. What?
Do you know how many dishes I had to wash before I was even allowed to touch milk there? I mean, please.
Intelligentsia is the kind of place that will treat you like absolute scum if you don't know what a Rwandan coffee tastes like.
But and you're so friendly. They were never friendly. They
Trust
must not have liked that.
It's coming right back to me. I was a cunt sometimes.
Oh, you were snobby?
Yeah. You know what? In fact, your shift shouldn't be determined on hours. It should be determined on how many times you've said, hi, how can I help you? Or hi, what can I get for you?
They should pay you per high?
There's a saturation point and it's over for everyone.
That's why I'm so sympathetic to the police. You know what I mean? They're doing their best and they're dealing with crooks.
I was a butthole to people.
Oh,
and
really?
It's come back to me occasionally. I just visited Intelligentsia, which has now been sold and it's not even as good as it used to be. But when I was there, you had to like pass 17 tests, like I said. Take a breath.
Yeah.
So I went to Chicago and I went to the Intelligentsia down there after I went to the Art Institute. And I ordered a drink.
Were you doing a snob tour of Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
Art Institute, yeah. the Brie Society.
I stopped into Barney's. Is that still open? Anyway, so I ordered a pour over, which does take a few minutes. But when you're the barista, sometimes you forget. Okay, that just does happen. So I'm sitting there, I'm waiting, and I walk up, I don't even know, 7 minutes later, I was like, it's done, or they forgot about it. And if they forgot about it, then I'm going to have to reset on that, which should be about 4 minutes. Okay. So I was like, hey, I ordered that. And right away, the barista goes, yeah, they take 5 to 7 minutes. And I go, I know. I used to work here. And he goes, what location? And I said, I'm standing in Chicago. So, of course, they probably didn't like me because I was like, Pasadena and Silver Lake.
Funny.
But I know you had to pass a test to know all the locations.
By the way,
so you know what I'm talking about.
There's a place here in our neighborhood. Beth, you live in our neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
There's a place here in our neighborhood that opened about 6 months to a year before the pandemic.
Standing Egg?
It's called Standing Egg Coffee.
Guys, that's been open for longer.
They
than
do
that.
Not serve eggs.
Guys, and that when, it was open before that.
And when the pandemic hit, I was so scared for Standing Egg. I was like, there's no way Standing Egg will be standing. There's no way it's got legs at the end of this pandemic. And you know what? I walked by there the other day. Standing Egg, they're still rolling.
Standing tall.
They're standing tall. I went
over
in there.
Over hard.
They're still, I was very proud of them. I went and I got a pour over myself.
So. Okay.
Wait, I have a question for you, Beth. So are you, since you're kind of a coffee snob, what's your coffee game in the morning and should we be doing pour over? What should we be doing?
Well, you know, I go back and forth, so I have all the options. I will say Intelligentsia scared me so much that I didn't make coffee at home for years because I thought I was going to get it wrong. Because they didn't have all the tools, the scales, the grinder, the kettles. But you got a good discount, so I started collecting the things I would need. And the truth is, I mean, it's just, it's bean water. You could throw some freaking, you know, sawdust in there and it'd be fine. Like, it's not that hard to make it, so you can't really mess it up.
Natasha, her strategy is half a pound per
I make it really strong. Is my coffee too strong?
It's unnecessarily strong. I love it really strong.
I'd love to taste it. Are you the person that likes like a rubbery or tar taste?
I do, because like, I'm from the Bay Area. Like that's how we do it.
Basically over roasted.
Over roasted, yeah.
Greasy looking bean.
You know, I did not know that this was going to be the topic of tonight's podcast.
I'm not ready. Okay, we can move on, but no, I do have two things to add.
Let's lean in.
Within the last week, two people I trained on espresso have either been in the same city with me or at my show or involved in comedy or commented to me.
Interesting.
Because I trained the UCB baristas when they were trying to do that.
Oh, when they did the old super successful experiment down on Sunset.
The experiment at Sunset.
One more question.
Yeah.
Do you heat your milk before you put it in your coffee? Because I feel like I'm always drinking cold coffee.
So I am a black coffee drinker. I am going to do milk.
Because you're a grown up.
Yeah. If I'm going to do milk though, and you will like this, if you like, I don't know what you guys have. If your Breville has like a little, like,
we don't have a steamer.
Okay. Well, you could get a steamer or you could get one of those little wands that like warms it up because when you warm up the milk, it makes it a little sweeter. So that's why people like cafe au lait.
You know, this reminds me of like the classic SNL sketch, Coffee Talk.
Listen,
coffee
I just wanted to get from an expert.
I see what you mean. And then, you know what I've also purchased? Mm. Some of them work, some of them don't, is either the Ember like mugs that stay hot or like the ones that you put your mug in, the
like
coaster
this.
That keeps it warm.
Did I ever tell you about?
I don't know about this.
One of the great.
I know what to get for your birthday that just happened and I missed.
One of the great clips online that I've ever seen is a man announcing at a competitive food eating contest. He's bringing the contestants up and this old man in like one of those riverboat hats, those like foam hats, you know, the white ones.
Wait, I'm trying to think what you mean.
And like a green sports coat. You know, those barbershop quartet type of hat. The flat brim. Come on. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Do you? I think I do now. Barbershop quartet. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's got like a green sports coat on and an ascot and he is introducing all the contestants. And he says, "When we are young, we drink our coffee with milk and sugar. Then with only milk, then black, then decaf, then we die."
I love that.
I thought that was some of the deepest.
Now, where was that guy? Because I lost, after my mind went elsewhere. I started thinking of the Music Man and those hats.
It was at Coney Island. Okay. He was introducing people at a hot dog eating contest.
Hot dog, yes. That doesn't surprise me. I like having a coffee at dessert. But yes, decaf will happen, come for all of us.
I'm not doing that. I'd rather die. I'd rather die before.
You will die of a heart attack from all that caffeine.
Mm, probably from all this nicotine that I'm sucking on.
Ooh, a little poucher.
He puts these pouches in. Have you ever tried them?
I don't think I've tried one of them. Well, I know there's like snus.
They're disgusting.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
But you weren't, never mind. I'm trying to think. I guess after parties, maybe we shared a cigarette or something.
Yeah, we used to be cool. Remember those days? Tosh and I, our romance is all based around cigarettes.
I mean, I do, ever since COVID, I haven't thought about it or wanted one. But yeah, I mean, I used to love one with a drink.
Didn't COVID really put smoking into perspective?
It did.
It was just like, I'm not trying to fuck with my lungs ever again.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It just totally shifted my mindset.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
Anyway, I do want to make you coffee sometime.
I would love that.
Yeah.
I feel like my coffee game, like we buy, you know, it's just like a little sloppy and I'd love a few
pointers. You do have a disgustingly sloppy coffee game. I always say that about her.
Okay. Well, Moshe, do you want to take a call and see if we can help someone?
I'd love to. Beth, thanks for coming by and it's been nice talking to you. Goodbye.
Good night.
No, Beth,
I'm actually sleeping out here on the patio.
Can we call someone and ask for some advice?
I'd love that.
We're going to ask them for advice?
Maybe.
This would be fun. All right. Actually, let's see what they have to say. Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Moshe.
You know, I was just thinking something about you.
What?
You need therapy.
Thank you. It's nice of you to notice.
I definitely did. And here's another thing I've noticed.
Yes?
There's never been a better time to start therapy than right now. And since the internet's around, the people at Talkspace have made it so easy, so affordable. It's awesome.
There's something rejuvenating about getting down to what's essential and starting fresh. You can do it with your spring cleaning. You can do it with your mind.
You know, if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling depressed, you're having romantic issues, everybody has something that they need to work on, and Talkspace makes it super easy. With 24/7 text, audio, and video messaging, Talkspace lets you talk to a therapist without needing an appointment.
No matter where you are in your mental health journey, talking to a therapist who's trained to help makes a huge
difference. If thoughts and emotions are piling up, a fresh perspective can help you feel better. Match with your dedicated therapist today at Talkspace.com and use promo code HONEYMOON during sign up to get $100 off your first month. Tell them Natasha sent you.
That's $100 off at Talkspace.com, promo code HONEYMOON. There's probably no one that you can tell that Natasha sent you. But then you get matched with a therapist and you can say, Natasha sent me. And you guys can work on your parasocial relationship with your favorite podcast host. Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
I just put our kid to bed and guess what I read her?
Your diary?
No, the diary of Abby Hoffman, the inventor of LSD. Only kidding. I read her one of these awesome books from KiwiCo.
And KiwiCo is not just books. KiwiCo delivers monthly science and art projects that celebrate a child's natural curiosity and sparks a love for lifelong learning.
It's basically a subscription, and they've got subscription lines for kids of all ages where they send you all this cool stuff for learning and entertainment. It's super fun and super cute, and it ranges from infants and preschoolers all the way up to teens. Grown-ups are welcome to join in the fun, too, and I did this evening.
KiwiCo delivers enriching, hands-on experiences that'll spark curiosity and inspire creativity. Kids can discover the engineering and mechanics behind everyday objects, the science and chemistry of cooking, and brand new art and design techniques.
It's super hard to find creative ways to keep your kids busy and challenged, and KiwiCo does the legwork for you so that you can spend quality time tackling these projects together.
Step into spring and celebrate the season of discovery with a KiwiCo subscription.
Get 30% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with code HONEYMOON at KiwiCo.com.
That's 30% off your first month at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com, promo code HONEYMOON.
We're going to call Alana in New York City. She's a Jew. I can tell.
I did share the email.
Oh, did you? Thank
you. And
did
anybody call in?
I don't know. Maybe Alana from New York City.
Yes, she said they did.
Hi.
Hi. How are you? Shabbat Shalom. How's it going? You know, I predicted you'd be Jewish and I was right. Do you have any advice for us before we get started?
It's Natasha, Moshe, and our friend Beth Stelling.
Hi. That's right. A good piece of advice could have been introduce yourselves and your guests. That would have been good.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. No, it's so exciting. I love you guys so much. And Beth, I'm a huge fan. So
cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we love you too. And we're super excited. Beth was just saying she couldn't wait to get Alana on the line.
So Alana, what's going on? How can we help you?
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Wait, before you start, Alana, I have another question. I'm so sorry, Natasha. How do you take your coffee in the morning?
Oh, I use like oat milk and maple syrup.
Whoa.
I do that sometimes.
We got a hippie on the line. Oh, yeah, wow.
Maple syrup idea there.
You put a little bit of ayahuasca, which is like an ayahuasca swirling stick.
You guys think that's hippie? That's just like sweet cream.
No, but it's like,
it's
you know.
It's also paleo.
It's paleo. She doesn't want that nasty processed sugar, you know.
Mm-hmm. Alana, what brand of coffee? Are you making it home or are you walking to get it as a treat for yourself?
I used to be the person who went out to get my coffee, but... Yeah, now I make it at home since the pandemic. I do like the whole Chemex thing.
Oh, I love a Chemex. Oh, look at Alana. Such a nice clean taste.
Alana, you should hang out with us. This seems like a real match.
Alana, should I wear my hair in the clip?
Great question, Beth.
Or take it down?
I like the clip.
Okay. It stays. The last question is what's the brand of coffee? And are you devoted to it or no?
I am, but they've been having a supply chain issue that I hope clears up soon. It's called Wild Crafter Botanicals.
Whoa. So you were talking shit about me calling her a hippie, and then all of a sudden we came to Wild Crafter Botanicals. That seems like too many rejoinders. You know, it could be like Wild Botanicals.
They definitely sound like they have an Instagram, so let's hit them up.
Yeah, Wild Crafter Botanicals. So listen, if you're in the LA area, hit up Standing Egg Coffee, and if you're in the, I don't know, where is it, Bangladesh, go to Wildcrafter Botanicals and try their beans. All right, Alana.
So what's up?
How can we help?
Oh, thank you. So me and my boyfriend of 4 years, we just broke up.
Sorry.
Thank you. I did initiate it, but I was, heartbroken.
Congrats.
To have to.
I was talking to the guy. I'm always team dude. So yeah, I'm sorry for him, wherever he is. Right
you
now.
Initiated it, but it was still hard.
Yeah, it was really hard. I hated it. But the thing is, we live in New York and we still have 3 months left on our lease. So
but at least you don't have a 3 month old.
That's true.
OK, so that's one positive.
Yeah, you could you could have a wild galloping botanical running around.
So 3 months left on the lease.
Yeah. And it looks like we're going to be probably spending the next two of them still living together.
Yikes.
Wow.
Is that why you're talking so quietly?
Because he's asleep.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, exactly. And you can hear me? Okay.
Well, we can hear you, but it's pretty sexy.
It is definitely a sultrier voice than I need right now, honestly.
Why do you think me and Moshe's legs are crossed?
I don't know.
Oh, you have a boner too?
Yeah.
Okay. Two months is not that long, but I would definitely try to exhaust some options and get creative if possible. But I know that sometimes that's hard.
Hold on, I have some questions. Wait, what is your question?
Oh, well, it's just been so much harder than I even thought, I think, for both of us so far. So I was wondering, if you guys have any advice, do you have any tips?
What do you do for work?
I'm primarily a book editor.
So you could work remotely?
Mm. Yes.
You got to get out of town.
Yeah.
Go on some vacation. I mean, it's so obvious. Go to Puerto Rico for a week.
Can't you find someone?
Do you have endless funds?
Fuck yeah.
Go to Paris.
No, but you don't need.
you been to Milan when the tulips are blooming?
But you don't need endless funds to leave town. You can go camping. You can go. I mean, just get away much as you can. You got to get. I know it's cold on the East Coast, but you got to get out of there. Go to Miami, catch an STD, fucking some like muscle bound guy. Like you gotta go. Is that an option?
Or like, could you get like, let's say your rent is $2,000, your part. Could you find a friend who he would get along with, who you could give a deal to, like for $1,200?
Smart, Kirk,
you can
like
have
that?
My furnished place, mm-hmm. and then you can at least take 2 months of that, $2,400, and get yourself an Airbnb, maybe like up the Hudson Valley, like that has internet or somewhere, like maybe the Catskills. I don't know. Like, do a little research, get away. But it's like you know you want to break up with this guy. You're just basically gonna be living in torture for 2 months.
It sounds awful to me.
Yeah. Well. Okay. 2 months is going to fly. If I were you, I'd get back together.
Why didn't you time it better, Alana? This is the same issue you had with Wild Heart Botanicals. You just didn't time it right.
Is it a supply chain issue with him as well?
You should have just waited until it was like the lease was up and you're like, well, that's the end of this. And one more little thing.
It had to have been really bad if you did it before the lease was up.
No shit. Totally. I mean, did you know you knew?
Or maybe he has a friend. Maybe you could say like, do you have a friend? He doesn't have a friend.
Okay. So here's a couple things. Like one of my exes, like after I broke up with him, you know, I was like, oh, I'm going to get my own Hulu. And he's like, no, don't. And I was like, is that because you just want to have like a link to me? And he's like, yeah. And then the minute he suspected that I had moved on, changed the password to the Hulu.
Hilarious.
I mean, what a baby. Would you give your mom the Hulu password? I think so.
That's funny. Well, it was your problem. Why were you watching Hot Boffo Boys all the time on Hulu? That's such a great streaming show, by the way.
Well, are you sensing that he's like trying to maybe make it so you will want to get back together with him?
Drilling a little Porky's hole in the wall so he can see you?
Is he like, you know what I mean? Like there's ways to sort of like, maybe his hopes are high and that's making it even more difficult.
Yeah. What is so difficult about it? If you can, you don't have to betray his trust, but if you can tell us.
I mean, I think it was hard for both of us, even though, you know, I started it.
Just to be clear, I was out and I'm the alpha in this situation.
I love you. This is like when you're like, cause he's in the other room sleeping. Oh, this is definitely so tense. Listening. And it's sort of like, it's like one of the, it's like when you write in your diary, when you know your mom or somebody's going to read it, you're like, today was good. And I was also good. And I never do anything bad. And I love my mom.
Okay. So how is it bad?
It's just really, I mean,
if you have to type it into the chat.
Then we'll read it.
It's just been really rough seeing each other every day. And I've been trying to sort of put in some space, like I'll go, you know, work somewhere or something. And it seems to have, you know, offended him that I've been taking space. So then I feel like more guilty.
Is there one bathroom?
Yes.
Oh my God. Wow. So you're like
Are you dead?
Smelling the shit of the man you used to love. What a world.
Yeah, it doesn't smell good anymore. You know, you've lost that love and feeling when you don't like the way his shit smells.
Wait, hold on. Alana, can you leave? Is that unrealistic of us to suggest?
You mean like Airbnb or something?
Or go on a trip somewhere. Is that financially unreasonable for you? I mean,
you work remotely. You could go back home maybe, or go with a friend. Does anyone have a guest house? And then just eat the money. You know, like, do you need to be in Manhattan right now?
So I can do that in May, but for now, and I think in a week he's going to go home for 2 weeks, which is good.
That's perfect. But
right now, I mean, it just happened on Friday. So right now it's just like,
okay, I got it. Here's what you do. What you need to do, Alana, and because you're Jewish, you'll be good at this, is, am I right about that you're Jewish?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Fuck yeah. Yeah, no, you're very religious. You believe in the literal truth of the Bible as given to Moses on Mount Sinai. You're going to need to do some, like, and I'm not good at this, Natasha is, like, real scheduling. Okay, you have 1 week until he leaves, and then in May you can leave. So what I would do...
But he'll be gone.
That's what I'm saying. Oh. In 1 week, he's going, so you have a week. Can't you just go stay with a friend for even 2 days? Even give yourself some... His offense is not your problem. Right now, you're in the midst of a situation where it's a combination of hurt feelings and New York. Right. Yeah. And his hurt feelings are not your problem. Even though you care about him, you're not.
That's the tough part. Yeah. God, I really take it on.
But it's just not. It's not your problem. Everybody's hurt when they get broken up with. And the New York part makes it so that you are like still on top of each other. So go to a hotel one night, a friend's house the next night, go home for one night. Then the next night, stay at a different friend's house. Before you know it, he's gone back home. Then you can start making your real plans to get the fuck out of Dodge to go on a trip. It doesn't have to be an expensive trip. It could be.
You could also use this as a opportunity to connect with people you might be needing to connect with, whether it be a family member.
Stay strong? Are you needing to stay strong? Like you might go back or no?
Oh, there we go. He just came in the other room. He's like, oh, she hesitated.
Alana, are you what I call like in a relationship paralyzed from the waist down?
Or like, what does that mean? You keep going back sexually?
No, just like meaning like you feel nothing down there, and so you need to either reawaken it with someone else, or it's just like dead inside. Or are you like, oh no, I actually want to sleep with him one more time? Because like this is why you struggle with telling people, right? Like I'm gonna break up with them, and you might be done with someone before you're done with their ween.
It's true. That's fair. Yeah. And I always used to describe it as once you've slept with a person, there's a portal between your genitals that never really fully goes away. It can get really small, but it's always kind of there. It's like when you pierce your ears and you don't put an earring in for like 10 years and then you go, oh my God, it's still pierced.
Like but there's like a little bit of smelly liquid.
Well, okay.
So Alana, what's the case? Are you still attracted to him at all?
I think, you know, this was sort of like a little bit of a long time coming for me. So
yeah, women like, usually do that.
It's kind of brutal.
And then when the door's closed, it's really closed.
Yeah. It's just sort of like it was impossible until it was inevitable for me. So now I'm kind of just like, I think we just need to
you really are a book editor. Look at these crunchy turns of phrase. I love it. It was impossible until it was inevitable.
I know.
You definitely have to do a little scheduling and soul searching and figure out how you can fill up those like gaps in the schedule, like the 4 days here, the 7 days here. Maybe if you want to make a schedule, let him know where you're going to be if you want, like just to give him a little bit of anticipation and so he can manage his feelings and be gone if he wants to and know when you're going to be gone. That's a courtesy, right? If you know you have the house for 3 days, what? She should just like not say anything?
Already didn't like that.
She's not his girlfriend.
Right.
She's
now. That's something I do with you.
She's now She's now his indentured roommate, and like, it's not your responsibility to. It is sad to go through a breakup. I'm not saying fuck that guy. He's a dick. I'm not saying that. It's sad, but that sadness belongs to him, not to you. And you're not responsible to mitigate his sadness. You're responsible to take care of yourself. As long as you broke up with
that's
integrity.
Savage.
It's true. If you broke up with him with integrity and you were kind, and it sounds like you were because I can just see it in you, then now your job is to take care of yourself, right? It's not to continue to manage his feelings until your lease runs out. That doesn't make sense. It's
no,
like,
because it'll end up beginning.
And then she does it for
really
two more
nicely,
months.
And then But I'm actually guilty of, like, I don't want you, but also I'll be like really offended when you do move on.
Sure.
So like, I need, yeah. You know, sometimes
that's
these,
so
some
rude.
Of these.
Wait,
Alana, I think your audio went out, I think.
I think it was him.
It might have been him. He cut the cord.
Yeah, I just, for me, I'm just like, how did some of these men that have told me that they'd love me forever find room in their hearts for their wives?
I always felt the opposite, Beth. When there was somebody that I was crazy about that got married, I always thought, oh, thank God I got out of the way. I was standing between that woman and her husband. Like, what was I thinking? Like, maybe that was a trick I played on myself.
I'm standing between me and my husband.
Yeah, I think that's real, though. I don't think that you need to, because here's what's really probably going to happen. You're going to try to stay in there and like counsel his grief and take it on, and you're going to grow in resentment, and by the time you move out, you're going to hate him and he's going to hate you, because you're going to be so busy trying to like medicate his wound that you're going to resent the fact that you have to do that even though you volunteered for it. And then it's going to turn into resentment. You're going to start treating him like shit, and then by the time this whole thing is over, you guys are going to be enemies. Whereas if you start taking space for yourself now, put a schedule up, you know, and say,
get busy
as fuck, then you can be friends with this guy if you choose to do that.
I don't know how much social media is a part of your life, but
oh yeah,
that's a tough one.
You can't unfollow while you're on the lease, though. That's a fight.
Are you feeling like, do you need support from your family? Like, or do they live close? Because you go home too.
Yeah, no, my family is close. I mean, we're not close, but they are like
distance local. Close, but you're not family. You're not like lovingly close.
She hates their religious connection.
So it's not like you want to go home and visit your family for a week.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. But I mean, I'm going to visit some friends, I think. So.
Honestly, I think it's such a great opportunity to practice just this new thing. Like what Moshe's saying, like just being strong and not feeling like you've got to have this like overactive management of his feelings, and just keep catching yourself doing it and use it as an opportunity to grow. And it'll be over soon.
Yeah, it will be over soon. It's temporary.
Stay strong. I mean, you're right. The first decision's the best decision. But
this too shall pass.
But I wish I could have done that in a relationship.
What's that?
Maybe I can do it in a month. I mean, I feel
what do you
like,
mean? We're in a relationship. No. You're not breaking up with me, are you?
No, but
wait,
I feel
Alana,
like
Alana, what are you doing in a month?
Oh. I'm always managing everyone. I feel like I think maybe women take that on a lot.
I think that's very fair.
Even if I don't want to, it's so irritating.
Yeah. I think that's very fair.
It's just instinctive, you know, and it's exhausting.
I feel like my brain is broken sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I'm just, like, why are you, he's not thinking about this or you for a second longer. Mm-hmm. And I'll catch myself sitting there like giving myself wrinkles and stuff.
I think that there is truth to what you are saying. Just even as a man observing it seems like the dynamic is that the man is like, you know, care for me. I don't know. It can work the other way too. But in general, yeah, I think that's fair. And so like there's probably some of that too. It's like you're going like, oh, I'm supposed to be taking care of this guy. But it's like, especially because you initiated the breakup. So you're feeling guilt that you did that.
Are you journaling?
I'm not a good journaler.
Well, you should be writing all the reasons you broke up with him. And then also write. Then you write the things that you'll take away and learned. And then you'll keep writing day by day because my brain starts to play tricks on me and stuff. And I got to remember all the bad stuff. But trust me, I got it all logged and it still means nothing.
Still means nothing.
Where does wild botanical bean come from? But where are they stuck?
Wildcraft or botanicals?
Where are they stuck in the supply chain?
In New Mexico.
I have a great suggestion. Make a fucking pilgrimage.
Oh yeah.
To the wildcrafting bean whatever
go
botanical.
Go stay in Albuquerque. There's that really pretty good lavender farm that you can stay on.
That's
it's
really
not
good.
That expensive.
It's called Los Poblanos is the name of. We're plugging a lot of companies
I thought
tonight.
Those were a pepper.
But they are. They're.
I think
they like
you can even like
in
camp
New Mexico.
On there maybe.
Where in New Mexico
land?
Is it, Alana?
Not sure.
Let's look it up. Laura, can you look it up for us? Here's what we're doing. We're about to make your eat, pray, love moment here. You know, put
are
on
we
your
funding
calendar.
This, Moshe?
No, we're not paying for it. What are you, crazy? She's a book editor. She's fabulously wealthy. She's a junior book editor. She's got nothing but money. Nothing
look at
but
her chair. It's white.
That's a crazy. Look at that bookshelf. It's got all those books on it. I mean,
her hair's
like
clean. Nice space. She's got a clean part.
Oh, my God. So here's what we recommend here in the.
It looks more professional than any of my agents or managers' backgrounds.
Yeah. True. Here on the Endless Honeymoon podcast, we would like to recommend that you take a pilgrimage. northern New Mexico. We don't know where, but you're going to find out where to go. New Mexico is one of the most beautiful states in the union.
I do love it.
You're going to buy a year's worth of beans, and while you're there, you're going to run into a rusty, rumbly cowboy that makes you feel like a woman again for the very first time.
And you're going to be the oil that makes them less creaky.
That's right. And she's going to say, "I was a big city girl. I was a Jew from the big city, and he was a
and he's like, "Hey, he's a Jew in Albuquerque.
Get a rope." He was a half Navajo man who loved to roast beans, and he took me to the White Sand Desert, and that's where I found who I really was. That's what I recommend. Get
going.
Sounds
like you're gonna be writing a book instead of editing it.
All right. Well, good luck, honey.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Yeah.
Be strong. Try this new personality out. I think it'll be good.
It's good for you. It's good for you to
and do it for me. Don't cater to his feelings or worry about him. He'll be freaking fine.
Right. One more thing I'll say before we let you go. There is a difference, and I think maybe this is gendered. There is a difference between taking care of yourself and being an asshole. And people that want to take care of people think that taking care of themselves is being an asshole, mm-hmm. but it's not. You can be compassionate and kind and caring and also...
So you're just compassionate in your head?
No, sometimes you're the butthole if you are taking care of them too much, because I won't let go of somebody totally. I don't even want to be with.
No, exactly. You can mm-hmm. You don't have to be a jerk about it. You can say, I'm just doing this for me. It has nothing to do with you, but I'm taking off. Goodbye. I think it'd be better for both of us. It doesn't.
Yeah,
have
they
any...
don't. They definitely won't believe you.
But, that's not your problem.
I think one of my classic lines, which honestly I only used once, but when I was trying to do this in a humane way, I just said, "Let's leave it at love. If we are loving towards each other, let's leave it at that."
I like that.
It didn't work.
I fucked him the everything. Next day. all right. Good luck to you.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Hey, stay in touch. Tell us what happens. Tell us how it works. We'd love to know.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks all right. So
cool.
Much.
Thanks. Bye.
That would make my skin crawl.
Oh, having I mean, my I ex. Same oh my god, I would bathroom. Fucking go crazy.
If you're done with somebody, like he was listening obviously the whole time, and so she was being like really quiet and stuff,
and looking through the little people that he drilled in her wall.
And it's not like I want her to drag him just because it doesn't work. Does obviously, like we said, doesn't mean he's a bad person. But I feel like if she were being a little more candid, it's possible she would say, "I am grossed out by him." You know, like every little thing he does bothers me.
Yeah, but then they also have, she has no private space, like not even a bathroom.
Usually you catch the ick, and then everything they do, it's like, I don't even like the way they chew.
Yeah,
and
totally.
It's not even, it doesn't have to be angry. It's just like, ugh.
And by the way, it's the ick. We should mention that it's exactly too much time to deal with the ick.
Yeah.
If it was 2 weeks, you'd be like, you know what? Yeah. Suck it up and fucking deal with it. 2 months is exactly like a breaking point for a human psyche to have to sit next to someone that all they want to do is get freedom from.
I mean, I would stay with a friend probably.
100%. I would too. I just would make it a priority to get out of there.
Yeah.
You know, you get stuck in your ways and you think, I can't leave.
We didn't ask how old she was. Sometimes people act bad too. Act mm-hmm. badly.
Like, because they're young.
Like she comes back and he's destroyed the apartment because her name's on the lease.
That is true.
And we
That's
don't know
funny.
Anything about him.
No, we go like, "How old are you?" She's like, "Well, I'm 22. You're like, "You know what? Stay in the apartment. Protect your stuff."
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, New York's got to be littered with people like that. Because Absolutely. Like the only way to get a real discount is to shack up. Because mm-hmm. you could get a one bedroom, mm-hmm. but then you both split it. So you could maybe get something nice. That's pretty small.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's hard to stay together.
She just got to find a way. Get to New Mexico. It's so much cheaper there. It would be so cool if she took that advice and just literally did it. I mean, what a life-changing experience that would be.
But the problem is, every time you leave your house in New York, you're like surrounded by street life. Imagine living in Albuquerque.
I know. It would be a good change of pace.
Yeah.
I want some of those botanical
beans. It is so pretty.
Beans. It's the most beautiful.
It is nice to be in nature. I hear you guys.
Yeah. And it's like a nice dry heat.
It's a dry heat. This really is coffee talk.
Okay. Well, can we take another call?
Can
you do one more with us?
I'll do 7 more.
Wow.
Beth, is there anything you want to talk about? I like your chill vibe.
You do have a chill vibe tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? Sometimes I find that about like any time, right? Show wise. There's so many variables in stand-up comedy that we don't really talk about that often because it's just like, it's an audience and you. And it's like, no, there's so many variables. The time, the light, the location, the type of people, and you.
Neil Brennan always used to say stand-up's like the only job where you have absolutely no idea how you'll do until the moment your job begins.
Yeah.
Like you just don't know. You're like, I think I'm going to kill. And then you get on like, oh no, I didn't have it tonight. Like,
yeah,
I just wasn't there. Or, oh wow, I was way better than I thought I was going to be.
Yeah.
You're not fully in control of that.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, I'm definitely chill.
Something you're bombing right now, just so you know.
I'd believe if I weren't crushing so hard with Laura.
Our producer Laura is literally in a fetal position, crying right now.
She's wearing her I Love Beth shirt. That's why I feel so good about myself. No, but you're right. I am chill. It is night, and we don't need to talk about it, but I'm chill for a reason. I was like upset, but I'm fine.
Whoa.
I'm here to have fun and let go.
Let's pry. Wait a minute. Don't go to the call. Let's pry.
No, that's what show business is all about, honey.
Make it.
You get news that you're... mom and pa have parted. You're brokenhearted, but you go on.
Or you got to do at midnight.
Your favorite uncle died at dawn.
What is this?
There's no business like show business.
Oh, that's literally, there's no business
there's
like show.
There's no business like show.
But you know, you got to sparkle no matter what.
That's true.
And that's
best. Sometimes you can't bring it. Like,
I know, that's
for
a bad
45 minutes. Oh my goodness. Sometimes you can choose not to, but obviously if you're on the road, you're on the road and you're definitely going up.
You know, one of the good feelings in comedy though, is when you know that you've written enough material that if you keep talking, no matter what happens,
you'll get to 45.
45 minutes will pass. And you're just like, I know that amount of time will pass. So no matter what, a light will come on. Yep. And I will say goodnight, and yep, the show will have happened. And that's mm-hmm. that.
Yep. I mean, there have been times early, I remember I just had a bad trip visiting my dad when I was, who knows, at the time, I must have been 23 or something. And I remember telling the booker, like, you know, I'm just really sad after the trip. I'm not really in a great place, and I don't think I can come tonight. And he was like, no, that's why you come. That's why you got to show up and put it on the stage. I was like, no, I'm going to stay home.
And he's like, damn, that I have $700 sunk into this promotion-wise.
Wait, so you canceled the show?
I did, but that was just like a... Yeah. Probably, I don't even know, like a Thursday at 8 in Chicago at the
Edge
Comedy
Club.
Moshe
hates canceling shows.
I don't.
Look,
I bet if we were
doing stats, I bet I would be near the top.
Of cancelers?
Of no cancels.
Of no cancels. You're probably at the top of cancelers.
Like if we're talking about attendance wise, I'm not perfect attendance, but I'm pretty close.
What do you think?
I cancel a lot.
Yeah, Natasha's like, I'm not feeling it. I feel just like.
No, but I cancel in advance.
No, you do. You do. That's true. All right, wait, let's do another call.
Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
How'd you sleep last night?
Pretty great.
Same here. And that's because we both slept on a Helix mattress. Me in my studio apartment that I've been forced to move into since Natasha kicked me out, and Natasha at our house.
No, we share a bed. Helix has a sleep quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. Now, why would you buy a mattress made for someone else? With Helix, you're getting a mattress that you know will be perfect for the way you sleep or for the way we sleep.
We just went to the website, took the Helix quiz. It's very quick, and we were matched with the model of mattress that was perfect for us. I wanted something firm. I sleep on my stomach. I got back issues, and it's awesome. This is the most comfortable mattress I've ever slept in. So if you're looking for a mattress, take the quiz, order the mattress. It gets shipped to your door for free, and you don't ever have to go to a mattress store again.
Just go to helixsleep.com/honeymoon, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. Now, Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows to our listeners at helixsleep.com/honeymoon.
Again, go to helixsleep.com/honeymoon for up to $200 off all mattress orders with 2 free pillows.
We're going to call Danielle right here.
In Los Angeles. Hey, Danielle, it's Natasha Leggero, Moshe Kasher, and our dear friend Beth Stelling. Hi.
I mean, I love you guys too, but I saw Beth live and Beth is everything and more.
Okay.
Where'd you see her live?
I went to, it was like 2 years ago, so pre-COVID, but like it was at Kate Berlant's Communicate at UCB.
Oh, yeah. And you remembered Beth and, well, no, I just mean like.
I guess we're wondering if you've ever seen us live. Because we're kind of electric as well.
I listen to your podcast every week.
Okay.
You guys are on. As well.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Danielle.
Before we move on from your sycophantic hero worship of Beth Stelling, how do you take your coffee in the morning?
Yeah. with some oat milk and a little bit of sugar.
Sugar, wow.
Oat milk is thriving these days.
Have you ever thought of doing oat milk and maple syrup?
Yeah.
That's a little healthier.
That's the new theme of our podcast.
And by the way, you can keep doing whatever you're doing.
Wait, Beth, just because she's your biggest fan and doesn't like our comedy at all, don't just butter up to her. All right, what's up, Danielle?
I have it's a very like multi-layered question, but it's very succinct. I'm having a lot of insecurities around, my best friend who has, a lot of money. We used to not live near each other. Now we do. I recently found out how much money she makes and it, was shocking to say the least. I think it's a combination of the money, the privilege. She's also white. She's also thin. I'm not thin. And she's related to a very, very wealthy public figure.
Diplo. Oh, Diplo's daughter. Oh my God. Unreal. I knew
James Vanderbeek.
Okay. So what, And so what are you wondering about?
So I guess I'm just, we're taking a little bit of space right now, just kind of trying to figure out you know, she's my best friend of like a million. She's like my sister. So this is like complicated and hard.
Yeah.
But I guess I know the problem is me.
No, it's not just you.
No, I like that. Listen, let me just tell you, I applaud the courage to have a friend who's privileged and white and to call a podcast with two white hosts and a white guest to find out what to do. Now that to me, that's the cutting edge.
Well, first of all, let me say, I hear you. And even, you know, can relate to this feeling on one level, which would be like she's thin. Because I definitely have been my weight. Well, I got an old joke that I'd like to tell right now.
Yeah, do some material, Beth. Yeah. She loves your material.
Ready? Danielle, this one's for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage right now. She didn't want to come tonight because she had a hard visit with her dad, but she made it anyway because the show must go on. The one and only Beth Stelling, ladies and gentlemen.
So I've gained and lost weight so many. I'm just kidding.
You know, this is when we just double down on the joke and we do it anyway.
Okay, the joke is I've gained and lost weight so many times over the years. My boobs are like an atheist dad at Catholic mass who's just like, I'm not going to get up again. This is insane. Okay, so that's the joke for you.
It's a great bit.
All I'm saying is I can, that on at least one level of the three, I can relate to because I just know the feeling. So it's hard to explain. It's unfortunate because what I say about myself and all my friends, I wish that I could see myself how they see me. Because how everybody else sees you, and probably her, is like, you got a beautiful curvy body. Your skin makes you always look good because you have that beautiful melanin, you know.
You go ahead. Melanin. Yeah.
I bet your boobs are real. No, I'm just kidding. I was going to say real soft, but I didn't mean.
I think you have beautiful melanin too. I was going to say that.
Wait,
what? Well, I just mean like those insecurities are very real. And of course, growing up in a freaking, you know, white supremacist society is going to, whether you believe it or not, there's messaging that exists and you were just steeped in it. So and it sucks.
Did but you? I'm sorry. So sorry.
It sucks. Like you're saying it's my problem. It's like, well, I guess you're right. Unfortunately, it feels like your problem is not your problem.
Well, I would. Okay. Now here, cis white straight man going to talk. So let's all listen up.
Mosh, your mic is on. Yeah.
It's time for me to weigh in. I would say, my instinct always when I'm in situations, even in the realm of what you're talking about, is that the only thing I have power over is the part of it that is me, right? So what Beth is saying is totally legitimate, and that there are societal and probably specific things that this person is doing that are on them. But the only thing I can ever do with situations like this is like get to the bottom of like, what's up with me? Mm-hmm. That's the only thing you can deal with. Sounds like you have a resentment. Right. And I can understand the resentment. And so then you just have to say, do I value it enough to save it despite the fact that there are things about this person that are driving me crazy? And if the answer is yes, then you deal, or not you, I would deal with the parts of me that are my problem, my jealousy, my blowing things, taking things personally that aren't personal, my judging people for things that they don't have control over. And then the rest of it, well, then that's her problem, right? If she's privileged and it expresses itself in rudeness, then, well, that's her problem. If she's privileged with her money and doesn't understand she's being insensitive with her money around you, then that's her problem. But you can only work on yourself. Like, you can't work on another person. And then once you work on yourself, then you can go, okay, I'm free now of this resentment. And then I can see if this relationship still has value and I want it in my life. That's my feeling.
And also, you have to take each of those instances and really think about her. Like, are you mad at her about things she can't control? Or are you mad at her about things that she can control?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something to think about. You know, she can't really control who she's related to, I guess.
No, right? Definitely not. And I think that's like, yeah.
But she can awesome. Control how she acts about it.
And she could gain she weight if it. She was cool.
Let's give her some of those bars that they gave Regina in.
You know, or if she's insensitive to you about, like, you know, is she inviting you to like a really expensive restaurant and expecting you to pay for your half?
No, she's like super kind. She's like very like, you know, anti-capitalist, like queer, lovely. It's I know that it's like a me thing. I'm just trying to figure out like how to separate like my friend from like, mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm like feeling like I want to cry, but like,
no, it's a safe space. Like, I hear you. Yeah, it's okay.
Society stuff. Yeah.
Right. And it's all mixed up. How could it not be? How could it not be?
A couple of things we've said is like, oh, it's not in her control, right? That she's rich or all and related to these people. It's like, but it's still unfair.
Yeah.
It's a leg up. It has been for centuries. So it's like, it sucks, you know? And so I say, you know, definitely feel those feelings. I'm sure there's been instances like I remember, you know, being a nanny out here, one of my earliest jobs with the coffee, and I was running errands. And, you know, one time I remember my boss saying like, hey, can you pick up these things from the grocery? I think she said Gelson's. And in my head, I'm going, no, unless you're going to pay me immediately. I don't know. Yeah. You don't understand that I don't have that in my checking account right now. You know, so that can be frustrating. Or I remember going to, before I ever got a writing job and had anything steady, I was going out to eat with another who was a peer, similar maybe in your situation, who was also like a little more financially privileged than me and in the first place and had connections as well. And they have made me feel bad. So that's a different story for you. But they do hold things over my head. They are rude. And I would say there are looks things the opposite way. Like maybe she feels like I'm prettier or something. I have no clue.
I would guess she probably does. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding about that. But like there is an imbalance in that way. And I remember the check coming and I was careful about what I ordered because I didn't have the money. And she was like, let's just split it. And I'm like,
how my nightmare.
Do you not understand that? And it got really upset. And she made me feel like really bad. Like, what's the big deal? Like, mm-hmm. raised her voice at me. And I mean, I haven't seen her since, but that you're in a different situation. But I'm just saying, micro level, I'm trying to relate to you because.
Yeah.
And I also feel like, you know, going on Instagram sometimes too, it's like every time you go, you know, you just, it's so easy to be jealous and envious of like so many things. And it's almost like, it's very hard to go through the day without being envious of things around you because there's so many images coming up in front of us. And I don't know, I just had this thought the other day, like just be prepared to envy. You know, in general, I think you have to really just get into that and know that's going to happen. And just maybe.
And how are you supposed to stay off your phone? It's like, we're kind of in a hell trap nightmare. But I just want to say too, like, I guarantee there's someone at work or your neighbor or someone who sees you at Trader Joe's who is like, that girl's so pretty. I don't know if I have the, you know, somebody who's just like not telling you these things.
But
like,
here's on what you're saying, Beth, everything you're saying is legit. My thing is always Beth and. That's what I learned in improv school, Beth and. But
UCB class, Beth and.
Everything what Beth said is true. But then my thought was like, society is unfair.
Yeah.
The system is set up in a way that's unfair. You know, people have privilege. They have financial privilege. They have racial privilege. They have all these systems of privilege and unfairness. And it's a byproduct of that unfairness that it would rob you of a deep and lasting friendship. Like also, I don't think that unless this person is insensitive, that you should allow the unfairness of society to also rob you of your friend, despite the fact that she represents all of these things. Like
she sounds kind of cool, right? Yeah, like maybe it's cool you get to be around her.
You've made that clear. I agree with you. It's like I'm saying, get angry, have those moments.
I agree with that totally.
Vent with a friend who feels the same. Mm-hmm. But I also, Moshe and Natasha are saying really important things, which is true. Like I would have never tried artichoke. if I didn't have that rich friend. So it's like you're going to experience some stuff that you wouldn't get to because of that. And you know that. And that's,
have you
that's
ever,
a benefit.
By the way, have you ever talked to your friend directly about the way that you're feeling?
So we had a talk. So this whole thing came up because of the new job that she took on like recently. And like, so it's basically like me and my other best friend, and both of them make like good money, and it's like me not, but whatever. So the one girl was like, the other friend was like, oh, like, you know, what's her face got a raise. And I was like, oh, crazy. And then, you know, they were like, oh yeah, it's like wild. And I was like, oh wow. And then the one friend was like, oh, do you want to know? And I like initially said like, yeah, I like thought about it and I was like, yeah, sure. And so like, that's kind of what like spiraled the whole thing was like, she was kind of feeling like I think the realization, which is like even more frustrating in a whole nother layer, is like, I didn't really realize I was having these feelings towards her of like frustration and like, you know,
competitiveness too, right? In terms of like making money.
Yeah, 100%. I'm like at a place right now in my life where I'm just trying to like figure a lot of things out. I'm, yeah. And so, but so she, so whatever. So we have this conversation around the money thing because it kind of came up with this whole salary change. And she was like, she just said like, you know, I feel like you've been acting a certain way towards me. And it was like an hour long walk that we went on around her neighborhood. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't like know what the thing that you're saying is. And she's like, I just feel like sometimes you make these like comments every once in a while. Like I called her bougie one time and she was like, and I guess like, I think like things like that, like I'm not like, you know, being horrible towards her, but there's these
little bubbles of anger.
For a woke, queer-friendly white person with a lot of money, their friend of color calling them bougie is like a real existential panic. That's for sure. They're like, no!
Yeah, she's very lucky to have you.
Really, yeah. But white fragility is really,
But it's real. It's like the unfairnesses of the system are affecting everybody, including the privileged people. You know, right. Like everybody's going through their process and
Danielle
dealing with their thing.
Called me bougie. And she didn't want any of the caviar. It was weird.
Beth is like this. She's like, Danielle called me bougie. Artichoke. The only thing that makes me feel better.
But you know that Beth is right too. Like sometimes the only way to do some things, like when I was younger, I remember like trying to piggyback on another rich person's, like our rich person's experience. Yeah. You can kind of go to some cool places, use them for that a little bit. What?
No, that's funny. Have you thought about that? About really riding on that financial privilege and just getting, just stop calling her bougie and just get her to buy you shit.
Yeah, I think it's just sort of like, yeah. But I think, you know, taking all of this that we've talked about, I think you kind of have like a nice, I'm glad you vented to us because you need
totally.
You need to find other friends that you can relate and not talk shit or something, but like vent. I'm frustrated because I want these things, but it's freaking tough and it's not accessible to me. And then that will hopefully cut out some of these little, you know, passive aggressive things you're saying to her, even though it's not, you did nothing wrong. I'm just saying like that way you're not at her, needling her. And I liked what Moshe said too. Now that you're processing, I think you should, since she's like a sister, be able to share some of it. And and it's not your job to educate her on what it feels like to, you know, go through the experiences you're feeling. So I'm not saying explain it to her, but I think maybe, and it will be up to you, it might be a little bit of a relief to share like, look, this is where it's coming from. I hope you can understand.
Yeah.
Have you done? You haven't done that.
That's so hard to do.
It's hard.
Oh yeah, that's why I'm saying you're gonna have to.
But don't you think if she, you love her and she loves you, don't you think she would want to know the whole you, even the part of you that you're like, not necessarily proud of, and that is gonna maybe even make her feel uncomfortable? You know.
Yeah, I mean, we had a talk. We had a talk kind of about like a little bit of this and like scratch the surface. I think I've just been processing since and like.
Okay.
But we're kind of like taking, it feels like we're in a breakup right now, but we're like taking space. Like she's going on a trip to visit the, relative public figure relatives. And then like,
Diplo. Perry.
She's going to the Ultra World Festival in Miami to go hear Uncle Diplo perform.
Wait, I kind of want to tell you guys who it is, but your producer said that she would bleep it, but I think you guys will think it's funny.
Oh, okay. We'll bleep it. We have our word.
We promise to bleep
but
it.
But we'll riff on it and it'll be okay.
She's related to
Oh my God. Well, you should have said that in the beginning. I mean, no, you got to get this person out of your life.
Oh my God. I cannot deal.
She can't be your friend anymore.
Does she have a hairless cat?
It's a relative through marriage.
That is so funny.
So she has an island.
Oh, wait. Okay. I have a question then. Because I'm like fascinated by how rich people live because I grew up. You know. Okay. So, like, what is like, can you tell us the craziest thing that she's had to go do?
Yeah. Good question.
Yeah, again, this part of maybe a couple things could be bleeped because I don't want to give away too much.
Maybe the next thing you're sharing we could take out.
Yeah, but she had to like go to his house and like with another relative or whatever because he was getting like paintings delivered.
But wait, why is that fun to just be? She gets to be the person to like open the door for a.
Well, not fun, but I don't know, like the craziest. I was trying to think of the craziest thing. He reintroduces himself to her every time.
Of course he does.
He barely knows her.
No, yeah. But I get it. I get what you're saying. It's like, it's adding insult to injury. Like the
is she like an assistant to this person?
No, she's related to him.
I know, but like, why is she going to like help him with his tasks?
Wouldn't you? I'd go. I'd go check it out.
No, I'm not trying to be part of an entourage.
No, I'm just saying like.
Me neither.
I'm saying like there's already the unfairness of the system. And then she's literally related to like the emblematic, like center of the diagram of, of what's wrong with society. Oh, listener, don't you wish you knew who we were talking about?
And not to mention like some of the issues that like Natasha brought up and I agree with. That's like what we're looking at all the time. It's like not helping. I mean, this is maybe a little cheesy, but if there are some people that we didn't even mention it. We kind of put that on you. Do you feel like, I don't know. Just things that will help you reinvest in you and see your own beauty, like even what you're following online and stuff, maybe some other things that could support
or
how
taking
you're
a fast from,
yeah,
you know, well, from looking at her vacation photos.
Right. But there's some accounts that like encourage you to like and remind you constantly that it's all fake and they'll show themselves. Cool.
I like do I do content creation, so I like have to kind of when Natasha was saying take a break, like I kind of have to do it.
Right.
Okay.
So here is my thought. Now that I've been processing this for a while, like I used to have this AA sponsor, and when I would have a resentment or I would be upset with the girl I was dating or I would have like an anger thing, and I would call him and go like I want to like vent. He would always say, what do you want? Do you want to tell that person off or do you want to salvage the relationship? Is the relationship so important to you that you want to make sure you can excise this kind of anger so that you can get back to this like thing that's important to you? And that's a question that like only you can answer. Although I suspect I already know the answer. It seems like you care about this person and want to salvage the relationship. So that's why I was saying in the beginning, the only work you can do is on you. You can't solve systemic racism or financial inequality. That's not something that you can do. You can work on the stuff inside of you and then see if you're capable of salvaging the relationship. I mean, people grow apart. That happens too. But I think, okay, you ready for cliches from cliches that I've collected? Because three of them I thought of. Are you ready for three cliches?
Wow, you have three bits of advice?
Three cliches.
Okay.
One is... something that Sue Murphy once told me about comedy, but I think it applies to you. She said, she told Jacob Seroff, you're only in competition with yourself. And I remembered that from the very beginnings of my comedy career, which is like other people's success has no bearing on me. It has bearing on my self-esteem, but that's an illusion.
It's like a dream. Yeah. There's always a million people who are like way more successful, who have exactly what you want, who you're mad at. Like there's just, it's always, and then there's always people like underneath you or who you think are underneath you.
It never ends.
And then there's also people who like you used to be above and now they've surpassed you. Sure. It's like, there's just so many elements of that all the time.
And that relates to my second
two cliches. So it's almost like
a dream.
It's like, it's not even real.
It is. It's a total illusion. All like, even though it's based on reality, it's still an illusion because it's, you take the reality and then you concoct meaning out of it, right?
Yeah. And I can tell myself all kinds of stories.
Totally.
And I've said this to you three times, but it's like there's somebody that's looking at you and is like, I want what you have.
Totally. Totally true.
And I wish I had her. I love your teeth.
And that person should listen to these next two cliches.
I'm ready.
Okay. Moshe wants to finish his thoughts, you guys.
Cliche two, don't compare your insides to other people's outsides. Mm. Right?
That's going
to
go in a mug that I drink black coffee out of.
With a little oat milk. But that's very dangerous to like go, I feel this way. I look at them and I assume that this, this, and this means they're feeling this thing. You don't, we don't know, right? We don't know what other people are dealing with. And that brings me to my final cliche, compare and despair, which I think is, yeah. I try to focus on that all the time. Anytime I'm comparing myself to someone else, I'm living in Natasha's dream and I'm just creating, I'm just adding fuel to the fire of this like anger that isn't even based on reality. Not to say that the systemic things you're talking about aren't real. Yeah. They're real, but they're just, your reaction to them can then get bigger and bigger based on where you're coming from. That's my final, Jerry's final thought.
Jerry's final thought.
I would love to get to a place where I'm not jealous or envious.
Same here. I can't.
Same dog.
I know. Same. What'd you say, Danielle?
It's that same dog.
Yeah. Totally. Me too.
It's tough.
Maybe it takes practice.
I think it takes practice. I know that social media and stuff's definitely not healthy for us, but
yeah.
I think basically for you, it sounds like eventually soon here, you'll be ready to have and say to this person, you know, I'm hoping we can have a follow-up conversation. I've had some time to think more, and whenever you're ready, I'd love to. Basically talk
and I really like your honesty and openness and even calling and knowing, like, a lot of people would just be like depressed or mad, or, you know, it's like you're really open to growing and, you know, to these feelings that are like happening, and you're being very honest about them. And I think that's a great first step in overcoming.
Yeah. Especially if like an opportunity comes up with this person, you'll be ready now that you've talked about it with them and really figured out yourself to say like, you know what? I see that you're going to Hawaii and I'd love to come. If you can buy the ticket, I will provide the fun.
Oh, wait, hold on. Is it private planes?
Oh, yes. And that's like the ongoing joke, is I'm like, Hawaii, there's a house there. It's sitting there. It's empty. Let's go.
Yes. Like,
this is, by the way.
And wait, what does she say?
Oh, well, like, she doesn't have access to it. That's the gag of like all rich people, is like nobody shares the wealth. So right. Like nobody needs to go to these vacation homes that are just like sitting all over the everywhere.
She doesn't get to go there either.
Well, let me just say this. This whole call has had White Lotus vibes the entire time. I mean, I've been thinking that for the whole time. This is strong White Lotus energy.
I'm never going to instruct you to steal a necklace.
Yeah. So don't go to Hawaii because she created more chaos than she solved.
But it's like nobody, I've hung out at these houses with billionaires and it's like,
they're all lonely too.
Well, it's just like, then you got to like talk to some loser and be treated like shit by some mom. And then I don't know. It's like, why? And then like, you're always doing what they want to do. It's better to like focus on yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And then like going, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe in some world where you and your friend go to this Hawaii place, it would be amazing. But it's like, it'd be more fun to like say like, hey, I'd love to go on a trip. Like maybe you guys can plan a trip that you could both afford or something.
I like that idea. What if you plan a little like camping trip with this person and you guys just go take mushrooms in the desert and just bond?
Say we go get some mushrooms.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, so it's like you guys can like connect on a level that, you know, is probably something she longs for too. And it's not like she's really living it up. She kind of seems like she's in this limbo zone of like, she gets. But here's what happens. You shouldn't be that envious of it, because she's going to like be waiting around, waiting for the call, helping with this house. Okay, then she gets to fly here. Next thing you know, 5 years have passed and she's just kind of like, like just like following around some rich person. It's like, that's no life.
No, listen, there's one more cliche that comes to mind. Here it is. It's we're all equals financially and otherwise in the mushroom dimension.
All right. Well, good luck, honey.
Good luck, Danielle.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. I love all of you guys.
And thank you for getting so real with us, for real. It was honestly, I'm very touched that you were able to get so honest and stuff. It really is meaningful. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Seriously. Love you guys.
Love you too.
Bye.
I do feel like I'm getting less jealous.
I do too. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's definitely
exhausting.
Accepting of myself. Like this is the first time I will say like, I love how my friend Tiffany put it. I've been growing my butt out and it's like, you know, I got to buy extra large underwear now. But I really do like my butt and I'm like, fine.
You've been growing your butt.
Tiffany Porterball said that. But it's like, I know that sounds like, but that's why I can relate to her. It's like, there's just so, whether I felt it or not, everything I was steeped in, all the little messages I've absorbed, there's, even if I stepped on the scale and it said a number, I might initially go, and then go, you don't give a shit. Like, are you happy and fine? It's just we've really received so much messaging.
So you're saying when you go on Instagram, it makes you have body issues?
No. I'm saying I'm just like relating to you and what you said, which is I'm more accepting of myself now than I ever have been.
I think the part of that is age, too. I think it's like, to me, I was listening to her and I was like, part of it was, like you were saying, it's societal and it's like trauma.
Yeah.
But part of it is also like, your raise is coming. It's just you haven't gotten it yet. Like, as sometimes as you start to get
older.
But
not everyone's comes.
No, I know. But obviously that person is dynamic and is cool and is creative. And this is not the end of her career. It's just that sometimes when someone gets something before you.
I guess what I'm saying, not everything's fair.
That's true too.
You know, but sometimes you like working or you're working way more than someone else.
You come to accept that too, in a way, I think with age. You come to accept like, okay, I'm going to find a way to be happy despite the fact that the world's ugly, I think. Or some people get stuck in depression, end up killing themselves at a very young age or getting strung out on drugs or passing that trauma on to other people. So that's always an option as well.
Yeah, drugs are an option.
Well, I feel like we really helped those two people.
That was
I
a sweet, so. Those were two good, meaty, real calls. I was happy to have you here for that.
And Beth had great advice.
Yeah.
I loved being here.
We loved having you.
And can you tell us where your shows are?
I'm in Austin this weekend at the Creek in the Cave, but whether that comes out in time, it's April 8th and 9th, my birthday.
And what else you got coming up?
That's so cute, performing on your birthday.
I know.
Yeah, read out just in case this doesn't get released until afterwards.
Yeah, let's see. I just got to go here real quick. I've got Seattle April 22nd at the Crocodile, which is a Friday.
That's what's up.
I'll be at Largo again on April 28th in Los Angeles.
That's also what's up.
May 3rd.
Okay.
And you are following me. I'm at the Masonic Lodge at Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
We're following you that day?
Yeah. You're the show after me.
Oh, no shit. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. I think I'm at 7. You guys are at 9 or something.
Amazing. I can't wait for
that
show.
And if you're in Dublin somehow, please come to the Sugar Club on Friday, May 20th.
Oh, there you go. All our Irish.
Your life sounds so fun.
She's touring. That's what that is.
I know, but if she had to find a babysitter and eat the sugar whatever, you know, it sounds annoying.
You don't think an Irish babysitter, all you do is go to the woods and you rip off
hello,
a piece of you rip off a piece of moss and one falls out. A little lady. I'll watch her for you. And then she hides her and you can never find her again. All right.
We love you, Beth.
Beth Stelling, the best. The best Stelling.